Welcome to the Acro Chats podcast. This podcast is dedicated to the practice of acrobatics in the global acro community. I'm Sean.
And I'm Emily. We're partners and teachers based out of New York City, and we love acro. Each week, we dive into acro topics, including training tips and methodology, happenings and history of the practice, and interviews with acro practitioners from around the world.
Come hang with us as we explore the world of acro and its global community. Hi, Emily. I'm Sean.
I'm Emily.
Yes, we... Anyway, welcome to Acro Chats, everyone. We're live from... We're recording.
Recorded.
From Warrior Bridge Studio on the coldest day in at least...
In a while. It's like 20 degrees Fahrenheit, which is definitely below zero centigrade. Well below.
For... Everyone else besides everyone. American listeners.
Every reasonable.
I think it was 16, which New York City, like, yeah, the global warming, it goes both ways. But anyway, today's episode is shoulder stands.
Shoulder stands. You might say, how are they going to do a whole episode on shoulder stands?
Just watch.
We'll do it.
So, shoulder stands... There's a lot of different shoulder stands. So shoulder stands show up in a few different forms. So we'll kind of like start from the shoulder stand that people are probably most familiar with. And that would be...
I would say the shoulder stand that the most people are familiar with.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, if you haven't ever done yoga, you'd be like, yeah, what are you talking about?
So... The reason why this shoulder stand has the most people probably familiar with it, probably not our listeners necessarily, but it might not come to mind first, but we'll cut to the chase, yoga shoulder stands. So doing like a candlestick position in gymnastics is what they would call it. It's when you go...
You start lying on your back and kind of like roll your legs up into an inversion.
So... The plow pose would be kind of really closely related to the yoga shoulder stand. And gymnasts would do this. It's a very intuitive movement. Is you're laying on your back and you roll your feet back over your head so that like you're on your neck and you're not going to be on the top of your head. You're going to be kind of like your back of your head on the ground, but not that much else. So like kind of lifting your thoracic spine, your rib cage, into an inverted position while you're still looking up at the ceiling, back of the head on the ground. And then like the shoulder stand would be you take your feet up off the ground and towards the ceiling.
Yeah. I mean, it depends a little bit on flexibility. So like plow pose in and of itself basically requires like the entire posterior chain to lengthen. So that's not the most comfortable for everyone. You know, you might have your knees bent or you might not be like up high on your shoulders. And then if you take your legs up towards the ceiling from the plow pose, most people can kind of lift their hips a little bit further there. But again, it still requires like some mobility in your neck and upper back.
And you can do shoulder stands with your hands on your back. That's how like yoga often does it is, like elbows will be on the ground, like the back, your tricep kind of area on the ground. And then your hands support your lower back. This is also sometimes like, I know, a lot of like leg choreography classes, like I'm thinking about the studio Body and Pole in New York because of a lot of my friends that, have taken class and teach there. But they do like their wavy legs in like a shoulder stand because it's a lot easier to like kind of, you can still do all the leg movements in an inversion, but you don't need to have the balance.
It's also, I think, a shoulder stand or kind of like passing through a shoulder stand is very much a part, like that style of shoulder stand is very much a part of like floor work or like choreography, like in a pole class or even in dance, you know, you can kind of go through that shoulder stand or a shoulder roll.
Yeah, that's kind of the hybrid is like the head is off to the side and you're rolling over your shoulder. And then that appears in like I had a lot of experience with shoulder rolls from martial arts and in jiu-jitsu, which is a lot of like floor-based fighting. So you wind up like rolling over your shoulders, and then like parkour and like Aikido, like there's lots of like diving rolls. So shoulder rolls, if you let those become a part of this, see, we can like go for it. This could be a 2-hour episode.
But basically, you know, the inversion, you know, is kind of like the halfway point in the shoulder roll. So if you do just a half turn and send your legs straight up, you can be inverted there.
Or breakdancers might freeze on shoulder freeze. Yeah, that's another one. And you can make all, yeah, breakdancers. They love their shoulder stands. So, but let's go another step up, or let's talk with a different shoulder stand scenario. What if there was a spot that your head could just kind of like go through the floor, mm-hmm. and you didn't need to have any weight on your neck at all, or like the back of, yeah, you don't need to really have the weight on your neck. It's like supported on your shoulders. So this would be a different type of shoulder stand. There's a few different scenarios that this can happen. So in like gymnastics on parallel bars, there is a skill called a shoulder stand, and that would be you're gripping the parallettes in like the standard support position, like you're up and then you go forward and it's like your shoulders right next to your hands. You've bent the elbows are going to be fully bent and your shoulders are resting on the parallel bars. You're holding it and you're in an inversion otherwise, like straight body towards the ceiling.
Yeah. There's some balance involved in that, you know, because you have to like steer with your hands still on the parallel bars and your only point of connection is your shoulders on the bars. So between like your two shoulders and your two hands, the base of support, I would say, is slightly, it makes the inversion shape slightly off vertical. Right? So like the straight body shoulder stand on P-bars is very, very slightly tipped towards the hands rather than like directly stacked vertical.
That sounds reasonable.
You can do that on canes as well, like handstand canes.
Yeah, handstand canes. If you have a lot of elbow mobility, you might be able to even put your shoulder on top of your hand. For me, like my body just doesn't fold at that point very well at this point. Mm-hmm. Or my bones might not allow it. We're still figuring it out. But that's a different type of shoulder stand, which is kind of like the baby hand-to-hand position in acro. Or it's the bottom of a handstand push-up if you have this basically any apparatus that you can go
below depth, yeah, in your handstand push-up.
Yeah. But there's another type of... Well,
apparatus.
Well, here's the issue. In the gymnastics on the parallel bars, it's not really very comfortable to rest your body weight on like a fully inverted shoulder, because in gymnastics it's wood, but if you're like on metal bars at a calisthenics gym or at a park, you wind up putting a lot of weight in your hands to like support the weight, and also if you want to push up from there, if it's coming from like a on the hands sort of position. But there's things that are more comfortable. So right now, actually, we are in the basement of Warrior Bridge. My laptop is sitting on top of a feet up trainer.
Multi-purpose.
Yeah, we're really getting our value out of this feet up trainer. But the feet up trainer is like a shoulder stand training device that kind of looks like a toilet seat.
FYI, this is not an ad.
They got to start sending us
unless they
want to
send us some money or something.
Or we're gonna stop saying feet up trainers.
But I would say it's like it's a brand of inversion trainer that is well known, specifically in the yoga world. But you know, you can find any version of this. I would say like spend more than $30 if you're going to get one.
So let's talk about what the inversion trainer is called. So this, I saw this kind of setup in like yoga classes for the first time, where, you know, when they were teaching headstands, Someone would be like, oh, I have a lot of neck pain. Or they're like, oh, I don't want to, I can't put pressure on my neck. I have like a spondylolisthesis, or they say all sorts of things. Or they might have legitimate neck things that they shouldn't be putting weight on their head, because that is true at times. So people create this yoga block sort of device where they stack up like three yoga blocks and they put a yoga blanket over each one, or in like, sometimes they do it with chairs, chairs with like blankets on top of them. So you basically create like your own like shoulder stand device that is more comfortable on your shoulders, offers you this balance advantage.
So it's a greater surface area than P-bars, for instance. Like it just kind of gives you a much wider, more stable platform to stack literally like the very top of your shoulder. So that your spine can invert in a vertical way.
And you can tailor the height specifically to what you're doing, and it's working with what a lot of people have like available to them. So whether it's like the chairs are a little bit more of a fixed height, but they offer like a lot of stability. So there's a lot of ways you can set this up, but lately people have made a lot of devices, or there's a lot of different brands. You can go on Amazon and you can get like really cheap ones. You can spend more money on them.
The feet up is nice. Like they, you know,
yeah, it's a
they
nice were little sleek design
on the early side of
Daniel Scott. Send me feet up trainers. I said it, but these are great. They can, you can train inversions on them. You can do all the leg movements of like handstands. They teach you a lot about the body shapes. And then it really well prepares you for what we call an acro shoulder stands. In acro chats, we finally got to the acro shoulder stands.
Yeah.
Partner acrobatic shoulder stand.
So in like the device-assisted shoulder stands, or like whether you're using yoga blocks or whether you're using an actual like purchased inversion trainer, we really do end up pointing people in that direction a lot when they come into our classes, particularly if inverting is like really brand new or uncomfortable for people, because you can have a lot of connection. So handstand training, it's just your hands on the floor, right? But like you can have your shoulders and then like most of your bicep, upper arm, and like some, and your forearm and your hand kind of all connected to this inversion device. And you get the feeling of rotating your rib cage over your shoulders, which is the balance point.
Yeah. And then in acro, the shoulder stand would be doing your shoulders on the base's hands, or on the base's, usually their hands or their feet. You are doing your inversion on them instead of an apparatus. And this can be done like holding on to, like if it's on the base's hands, you could be holding onto their legs for support. You could be holding onto the arms in various positions, or you could also be doing it on their legs and facing either direction, and this would be star. So in acro, star is like a really foundational pose that's, it's the inversion that goes the tallest when the base is laying on their back. So an L-basing acro duo has potentially the hands connected. If it was a regular star, that would be kind of coming from the base's head side with a hand-to-hand grip, so like right hand to right hand, left hand to left hand, and you do your shoulder stand and your body stacked over their legs. And the reverse star would be from the other side. You can use the hands to enter, but it's kind of a tricky place to keep them. And that one would be, you would usually grab the base's legs and then you would be in a reverse star. And invert yourself, you have to go up.
Right. Well, and the pathway there, you know, to invert is very much, there's some timing involved because there's two people, you know, so the timing has to go together. But the pathway is really entirely the same as like if you had done it on a device or an apparatus. And so, you know, like understanding how to basically do a half turn from standing to getting upside down, that it's the same pathway. Base's legs are taller, so getting up there requires, you know, maybe a little bit more in the way of shoulder strength and timing. And then once you are there, you know, acro is different than doing your solo practice, right? So you have to decide between base and flyer who's responsible for balancing.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways. So either the base or the flyer can be the balancer. So, like, I thought of one other thing you can do a shoulder stand on, a slack line. And, you know, the shoulder stand on a slack line is really interesting because they kind of start from one shoulder, as far as I understand it. Mm-hmm. I don't know too much. I don't know if I've ever seen, like, two slack lines side by side. So in a slack line, like, you're very much, like, letting your body balance itself, kind of.
A dynamic balance.
I don't slackline, so I can't really speak so well to the sensation, but it's kind of similar to head balancing in the way that I understand it, where you stack your body. There's parts of your body that you're paying really a lot of attention to stacking, and then there's everything else kind of moves freely to maintain that stack. So, like, that's what I've seen people use that really successfully for mono-free star. So we should talk about the types of star, because there's some variations to star.
So regular star, flyer stands by the base's head, facing their feet. Base brings their feet to the flyer's shoulders, and the flyer kind of rounds over. You connect hands in a hand-to-hand grip, and, you know, do a tempo up, down, up to jump and get upside down. And the base straightens their legs, and most of the time, if we're just talking about standard star, we keep the hands connected, the flyer is inverted in a straddle or legs together.
Yeah, and you could have gotten to this star from a lot of different positions in L-basing acro. That's kind of one of the nice things, is like you can transition into it. Once you get there, though, you could be in any kind of leg position, so we're going to just kind of like, you know, all the tuck, straddle, diamond, you can move your legs in any way. You can, like, twist your hips. There's all that stuff, but hands connected star would be kind of the general category star. And then we would call the next thing free star, where you disconnect the hands. Usually we would say, like, it could be, the flyer could also hold the base's legs, but that's a little bit less common in a regular star. So free star would be no flyer hands. And it's kind of nice because there's the potential to push your head against the base's shins to create a lot of stability in a star.
Yeah, but there is this element, you know, you have the potential head connection. When the hands are connected in any acro inversion, if you have hands and shoulders as a point of contact, it can be much less strict in your stacking. You know, you could kind of lean over, you could be slightly underbalanced or overbalanced, and it's not going to make you come down. But then when you start to go free or hands free, you have to start to understand, like, vertical straight body alignment. And that's where we kind of get really nerdy and into it.
Yeah. So the free star, like, just that there not being the connection of the hands, that means that you have to have, like, enough invertedness for the platform you are on to stay in balance. Otherwise, you fall over in one of the directions if there's no hands connected. The taller you make these things, the harder it would be. So, like, the legs together and the arms up by your side would be kind of the it would be the tallest balance, so it would fall the most rapidly when it does. But it also is the tallest, so it looks the coolest. And then you can make lots of shapes, but yeah. The mono direction, though, would also be the other thing. So being on one of the base's legs and one of the flyer's shoulders. And this would be, this can be a transition or a part of like the transitions. You could usually a mono, so you can have just one foot on the shoulder and still the hands connected. And this would be like used in like stepping transitions, trying to go to like the straddle bats, or you could go bird to star.
Yeah, you can. Yeah, so that would be like a 3-point contact or maybe 2 points with a foot to shoulder connection and then one or both hands. Then when it starts to get really complex is no hands, 1 foot to shoulder.
Yeah, and that's a really hard one. That's no hands, no hands, 1 foot. That's a tricky one.
Plenty of people do it. It's definitely doable.
It's doable. We've had flashes in the pan.
Moderate success.
we've had our moments with it. There's been like a few moments where we're like, we got this, and then most of the times we're like, we almost got this. But we'll play with the big dogs soon.
And there are some slight differences between regular star and reverse star. So the reverse star is the flyer standing on the base's butt side and entering shoulders on feet that way. And inherently there, you don't have the same like neck, head to foot, shin connection. So going hands-free, just going free in reverse star already requires a little bit more precision potentially than in regular star. And you can also kind of decide, you know, you could do regular star hands-free and decide that you're not going to use the head connection if that's what you're going for.
Yeah, and that's totally, and that's actually, if you wanted to do like a mono free star, it's actually, you kind of want to start to move away from using that head connection, because then like, it's hard to find like truly inverted when you're pushing against something. But that's something that's going to be kind of hard to understand if you don't do a lot of this. So if you're like someone that's like a handstand listener,
sorry.
Thanks
for hanging in there with us.
Yeah. The last episode was like also acro. Okay, well, scroll back.
Well, so this kind of brings us to maybe the way that we kind of like line up our star and reverse star is very handstand-like. So, you know, I imagine if I'm like in my mind's eye, I could imagine that my shoulder connection on Sean's foot continues straight down his legs as if they were my arms.
Yeah. To me, I just kind of like, I'm looking up and I'm like, I just see like one giant arm, and then like there's a body that I want it to be shaped like a handstand on top of me. So yeah, and it works pretty identically in a lot of cases. You know, not that, you know, your arm not being attached to you is...
It creates a little interesting, different feeling in my body, you know. But I'm not doing a handstand, I'm doing a shoulder stand, you know.
Yeah, but if Emily is holding onto my leg, she can connect herself, like, in a pretty stable way. And then when you take the hands away, then it becomes, like, a much trickier thing. It's like you had really wobbly shoulders. But, you know, it's something that you can train in. Like, we've seen lots of people who are quite good at doing, like, they can transition in and out of, like, mono-free reverse stars and stars, and they're very skilled at that, finding that line of balance. And it's really, there's a lot you can do with it. And, you know, you can, if we keep the, you could pop it from, like, no hands connected, or like no flyer hands connected, but you can also do like Icarian or pops, where the base is throwing the flyer from stars. Mm-hmm. And that shows up in like Icarian games, circus arts.
And that again kind of requires a pretty intricate awareness of inverting and also rotation. So like if you're being popped through the star position facing either direction, and you want rotation to happen, you have to understand like when to kind of tip and which direction to tip during the base's throw, which is like, you know, a whole other category of handstand movement.
Yeah, but it kind of all comes back to like it's gymnastics and like, you know, shoulder stands are like we talked about like the one on your shoulders with your head through and the candlestick, the like yoga shoulder stand position, those both show up in gymnastics because they are like fundamental movements of tumbling. And like at the end of the day, it's like, you know, we're just like this is a little off topic, but like Pilates has like a lot of shoulder standing sort of things, and they also have like devices to kind of like make it more comfortable because Pilates is gymnastics broken down into
Yeah, Joe Pilates did.
Joseph Pilates, this German dude in early 1900s. He made like he took he I think his dad was like an acrobat, and he like broke down gymnastics into like therapeutic things. So shoulder stands are therapeutic. Even
Being thrown from your shoulders.
yeah, that's what we're going for. This
But
Icarian therapeutics.
I think a lot of what we find like really
Icarian.
I think a lot of what we find really sort of interesting and like what we like to nerd out about and using a shoulder stand, and there's a few other like types of shoulder stand that we're going to mention too, is that you can apply the concepts of handstand training and kind of figuring out how that works and going through that process of, you know, finding the balance. It's really quite similar to doing your own handstand training. So, you know, we both, Sean is pretty proficient in one-arm handstands at this point. I'm trying to get there one day, but that's kind of this crazy thing of putting your center of mass over your base of support, and your base of support is one hand on the ground in a one-arm handstand. And if we're doing a mono-free shoulder stand of some sort, whether it's mono-free star, mono-free reverse star, we are continuing to go through this process of how do we put the center of mass over the base of support and keep it there? And like what shape is going to be most advantageous to do that? And
Yeah, and it's like it's pretty doable when it's like holding onto someone's leg or holding onto someone's
when the
arm.
flyer hands are
Yeah.
involved.
Yeah, but when it's no points of connection, suddenly you're just trying to like figure out how to make these things stack, and you could do that where the flyer stays incredibly still and the base tries to balance them like a pin or like a broomstick on their hand and just kind of like well, or grip and like kind of take control of the situation if they can, but it's hard to do that with the foot. If you had a monkey foot, it would probably be easier to you'd be some badass free star.
Could just hold them with your foot thumb.
Oh man. If I know any doctors that are willing to get weird,
Install a thumb on your foot.
might make a walking harder. But brachiating is gonna break true mover.
You know, like we've really puzzled through this quite a bit. And then the other option would be like the flyer doing a more active balance on the base, kind of more similar to slackline, but it's still, you know, physics is physics no matter what. Like it's always going to be the flyer center of mass over the base of support, whatever that point happens to be.
It's interesting if you look at it, when someone's doing sometimes like wild, like slacklining sort of balance, either on a slackline or on a person, they on someone's like foot or hand. Usually, it's on someone's foot. I haven't really seen it so much on someone's hand. That would probably suck. But there's a point that you could like map out if you were like watching a video of it. You could, and that spot would stay directly over the base. And it's kind of wild because everything kind of moves independent. A lot of things can move independently of that to rebalance yourself.
You can see it in head balancing as well. You know, if you watch someone that does hands-free head balancing, there's a lot of movement of the limbs usually, but the center of like the solar plexus, like the center of the torso, is always very directly stacked right over the center of the head.
Yeah. Well, in head balancing, it's really interesting because it's very much like the tailbone. It's like the taint. Sorry. This was like the third time I like refrained from using that word.
Oh, okay.
And then this time it just
couldn't just be stopped. Out.
But like that topmost point that your body could reach in head balancing is the point. Whereas in like slack lining, it's kind of inside of you. It's kind of like there's like a. It's not like that point maps out like not directly at the highest point. It's kind of like offset the navel, I feel. Anyway, it depends on how much you're leaned over is actually really the a real deciding factor on that. But
yeah. So I mean, just to maybe wrap the shoulder stand on feet. We just enjoy it a lot because it lets us sort of, in lots of ways, replicate shapes that you would make in one-arm handstand practice. It's just like, I don't have to have a one-arm handstand. I have the advantage of Sean's legs.
Do we want to talk about the type of grips for shoulder stand? No, we don't.
No. it's not a visual medium. It's really hard to...
Yeah. So everyone grab a partner. So shoulder stands on hands, we briefly mentioned them. There's lots of ways to get into them. You can jump into them. You could be loaded.
Flyer shoulders on bases hands.
Yeah. This flyer can be holding onto the bases hands. They could not be. We would sometimes call that like, it could be a free shoulder stand or it could be a needle. That usually needle is with the flyers like legs together and arms up, but there's that same possibility. But the base doesn't also need to be laying on their back. So one possibility you can imagine is they just like roll themselves from laying on their back all the way up to standing on their feet and holding the flyer like a barbell, like either in front of their chest or overhead. And then you have a very tall shoulder stand. And you could do shoulder stand on like one base. You could do shoulder stand on two bases. There's lots of different high shoulder stand variations. So standing acrobatics offers actually quite a lot of possibilities. Yeah. And even group acrobatics in general, like there's like a lot of possibilities for shoulder stands.
Yeah, I think this is another area that we like to kind of dig in on shoulder stand options in standing acro. Maybe like a little bit more often, just because we also love hand-to-hand. Hand-to-hand is great, foot-to-hand, sure. But it does require, when you get to higher level skills, like it requires a really strong understanding of handstands on the part of the flyer and like, you know, some amount of shoulder strength and stability. And it's just that much taller, you know, it's whatever, 2 feet taller if it's a handstand versus a shoulder stand, and therefore harder to balance. So shoulder stand skills kind of offer some variety and some opportunity to train in like maybe a slightly less frustrating way.
Yeah. So one of the challenges of shoulder stand is like, it doesn't stack very well, like in standing on a bent arm. It's like you have to have the base's arms need to be overhead.
Yeah.
But the fact that the flyer is in like a much more stable shape means it's a lot easier for the base to like kind of figure out the balance, because the flyer just like won't, if the base messes up, the flyer won't be moved around as much because like they're just in a stronger, more stable spot.
For instance, like, I mean, we do a shoulder stand that we can basically press. So climbing up to a reverse two high, which is flyer standing on the base's shoulders facing opposite of the base.
Chest to chest sort of direction, but level up.
And then the base can just start with their arms like overhead, not fully straight, but as the flyer puts their shoulders on the base's hands and starts to press, the base can start to straighten their arms, and then we've arrived in this extended overhead position for the base. That is a shoulder stand, so it's not an extended hand-to-hand, which is quite a difficult thing to balance, extended hand-to-hand. But it is...
And it's that much taller to... It's right. another arm's length to enter on top of. So this... But it's a nice... you know, it's just as tall as a hand-to-hand.
Mm-hmm. And it gives spaces a way to train in the overhead position. Flyers are inverted, so they're, like, training their upside-down awareness. But it's just more stable than a handstand.
Yeah. And... Yeah, so it's on a similar skill difficulty level to something like a hand-to-hand position with the base's hands right in front of the shoulder, just kind of different skills. But, you know, it's nice to kind of be able to, like, cover a lot of different bases. The other type of shoulder stand that shows up is standing on the base's shoulders. And that's cheerleaders actually often call that. A shoulder stand, a two high is what like acrobats would call it. So this is the flyer standing on the base's shoulders.
Shoulder stand.
Yeah. So this is I mean, there's so much you could say about two high, but it's like two people stacked on top of each other and the base can run around, the base can mm-hmm. jump, the base could climb up on top of another base and become a mid and you have a three high. I mean, usually the flyer climbs to the top. That's the more efficient way to build a building.
Yeah. But, you know, it's kind of similar in concept in that you're trying to place a flyer's center over the base's base foundation, over the base's foundation. And we don't really use that same terminology as cheer. We call it too high, but the opportunity to practice like balancing something on top of you in a position that's more stable than an inversion. And also, you know, you could argue like, why not do foot to hand? But then that requires like a certain amount of strength and mobility from the base's shoulders and elbows, right? And it's just much harder to do movement.
For the base to be able to squat up and yeah. down, for the base to be able to like walk in different directions, like you can literally like run around in a two high. So like the two high is just like a fundamental position of acrobatics because it gets people. Like I actually, and I also, I think about a client of mine who the son would just like they would walk around in two high. The son would walk around. The dad would walk around, and the kid would just be standing on two high, and they'd walk around New York City. So it's like, it's a way to stack bodies that's like actually really doable, I think is what's interesting about two high.
It's also something that is often taught as like a basic element for standing acro, at least. It's like one of the first things you learn. But we've actually seen some pro circus companies that take it to like amazing skill levels, you know, like running in too high, swapping flyers in too high, you know, transitioning in and out of it. Gravity and Other Myths is a company that comes to mind that they really use too high and three high in incredible ways.
Yeah. So I wouldn't say that, I guess, you might think of it as, some people might make the mistake of thinking of it as basic, but I would say it's foundational, which I see as something really different. So a lot of people are like, oh, I don't want to practice too high because I want to practice hand-to-hand. I want to practice shoulder stand. I want to like do, or I want to do foot-to-hand so I can do it. But too high is the foundation of that because the weight's on top of you. It's the same way that a back squat, like a barbell back squat, is like a foundational lift. It's like you've put the weight on top of you in like the way that you can hold it the most efficiently. And then also when we think about like the art form, like in cheerleading, like you stand on someone's shoulders so that you're higher up there and you can like rally the crowd. And then like the fact that you can do tricks from there, but like the tricks can be even more insane in a way. Like a really crazy acro skill is a two high back tuck and land in two high. And this is almost seen, I would say less commonly than like a reverse foot to hand back tuck and catch.
Yeah.
Though both are amazingly challenging skills.
Yeah. I think because partly like too high back tuck, landing too high, it's maybe more incumbent on the flyer to like spot their landing a bit, and the back tuck from foot to hand base is going to reach up to catch earlier. And you maybe have a little bit of room for error, like as you come down to the racked position.
But, I'd say the base can see it a lot better also.
Yeah.
And the takeoff position, like the base has an ability to direct it if you're holding onto their feet.
Right.
But both, you know, they're both hard. If you do your reverse foot to hand catch,
like,
I'm not talking shit. You're still legit. Acrobat. But, you know, those other guys are... Anyway, we'll just leave it at that.
Not to be, like, super, like, you know, esoteric, like, woo-woo about the too high and shoulder stand in general, but I'll just speak from my experience in practicing too high, because we spend most of our lives standing on our feet and walking on our feet, you know, like our nervous system is very developed towards being on your feet and standing. We kind of can develop this sense of like my center and my spine is like a continuation of your center and your spine as a base flyer pair. And
our like, collective spine.
You know, and I've really felt this in like walking in too high or, you know, trying to move in too high where especially, and it also affords the flyer the ability to practice like tension, body tension without having to be in a handstand or even in a shoulder stand, where if my like spine, pelvis, and legs are all connected and have tension, then I just feel like, you know, a little change in my feet can steer you. And a little change from your position under me, like I just float kind of above you. And that's ideally the same thing that happens in any inverted shape, any shoulder stand, any hand to hand. Like we're just like a continuation of each other's shapes.
52 collective vertebra. Did I do that right? 48 collective vertebra.
Yeah, unless there's any extras in there.
unless
someone has an L6.
Emily, you're gonna get us canceled. Anyway, so we have two more shoulder stands. One we practice quite a bit. This shoulder stand is the flyer doing a handstand on the base of shoulders. Just kind of a shout out to have that skill. It could go either direction. We really like it. I'm going to say this is one of the less, I guess this is just like a pretty unique one to standing acrobatics, because you couldn't do it in standing or seated base position. But you couldn't do it laying on your back because like your base of shoulders are
not accessible to you.
Yeah. So the flyer can do standing on the do a handstand on the base of shoulders also. And it's just like a different type of balancing. We really like that skill. We practice a lot. We do like one arms on shoulders and work on like hard shapes in it. And it can be done with like a lot of support from the base's arms, or it could be done with no support from the base's arms.
And you basically
like in a handstand, and you've created a collective balance.
And I mean, you can basically think of it as like the shoulder stand where the base's hands go on the flyer's shoulders. You just flip it around. Flyer's hands on base's shoulders, all the same concepts apply, technically. But, you know, it requires a decent handstand ability from the flyer.
Yeah.
If you're taking away support of the hands and, you know, if you're trying to go towards one arm stuff.
No, totally. You have to be good at handstands to do a handstand on someone's shoulders. Yeah. And then last one, We don't really do this one too much. We should probably practice it more. But there's another type of shoulder stand, which is basically flyer shoulders to bases shoulders. So this would be neck to neck, is the what it's usually called. So neck to neck is usually done with like the arms like interlocked, but it's like a candlestick position or the yoga shoulder stand position. On top, one person standing, one person in that shoulder stand on the base's like traps. So like the head usually is going to try to like get out of the way so that the back can still be like pretty straightforward, or straight up. And yeah, I have seen this also where people have like both acrobats have their arms on their sides.
Literally, so the spines are a continuation of each other.
The tallest of neck to neck positions, legs together, like arms on your side. You're just like pure, yeah, pure spine. it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, we don't do it too much. We should. Yeah, we'll come back to you. In neck to neck, we'll do a whole episode on neck to neck. 2023.
Maybe after we've practiced it. So, you know, don't discount the whole this whole category of skills that is some combination of like base body part to flyer shoulder or flyer body part to base's shoulders. It's really, really valuable training.
Valuable training if you're learning it. It's a valuable place to explore interesting skills. So, I mean, you know, there's... It's only basic if you're basic. So...
Wow.
Yeah, okay. No, that's good.
You're full of them today.
I was gonna keep going anyway. Mm-hmm. No, but it's... You know, if you're really... If you put the time into foundational things, the more... advanced things, they're just more complicated. You're adding layers to them. So, like, you know, take your time to work on the foundations, but, you know, they're, if it's also just, like, work on what you want to work on. Like, if you like these skills, like, we find, like, interesting things to explore in them. So we spend also, time on it, but, like, if it's not interesting to you and you would rather put the time working on your handstand, you know, like, I don't spend a lot of time on a feet-up trainer because, like, I can do a handstand. I think it's just where I'm at. And, like, that's what's, like, stimulating for me. So, like, work what's the level that's interesting, the direction you're interested. And just be happy. Anything we should announce? We're going to do an acro festival.
If you're listening around the time this gets released, so it's currently January 2022, we're going to do a festival the weekend of April 1st, 2022 at Cirque House.
It is not an April Fool's Day prank, but it is the Cirque House New Year's. So, like, we had a, well, we didn't have to, but we postponed our New Year's, our Cirque House New Year's party, so we are rescheduling it for April 1st. Mm-hmm. Not an April Fool's Day joke. There will be an acro festival. It's going to be dope. We'll tell you more about it soon, but, like, just get psyched and, like, pre-purchase when...
And if you're listening to this after April 1st in 2022, sorry you missed it.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was great.
And everyone had a great time. It was... Anyway.
But we'll be back next week with another episode.
About something related to acro.
And chatting.
Warrior Bridge is a leading provider of online instruction in handstands, flexibility, movement, and partner acrobatics. Classes are filmed daily from our downtown Manhattan studio and live streamed around the globe to meet you wherever you are in the world. Our classes offer students the unique opportunity to receive real-time feedback and answers from expert instructors and connect to a movement community that spans the globe. If you aren't able to attend class in real time, you can catch class replays at any time via our on-demand library. Head over to warriorbridge.com to learn more.